This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Wealthability for CPAs show. Better clients, better practice, better life. Here's Tom Wheelwright.
Welcome to the Wealthability show for CPAs, where we're always discovering how to create better clients, build a better practice, and have a better life. This is Tom Wheelwright, your host, founder, and CEO of the Wealthability Network. You know, AI and blockchain could actually eliminate the job of the CPA as we know it. So today I'm very excited because we're going to discover how to become a CPA your clients can't live without, even with AI and blockchain and any other technology. Because today we have a very special guest on our show who is an absolute expert in customer service. And I love the industry he comes out of because it's the spa industry. And of all industries, I think this is the one where customer service is the most important and sometimes can be the best and sometimes can be the worst. I'll get back to this in a second. Now I have something specifically for CPAs. What if you could discover a simple way to double your profitability in the next 90 days without adding any new clients? That's right. Whether you're a CPA, tax advisor, other tax professional, accountant, bookkeeper, in my newest resource, I will walk you through a simple five-step process that's proven to help you do just that. We have members of our network that have doubled their profitability in 90 days or less, and you can do this too. Now, to get your free copy, just go to wealthability.com/CPAprofit. That's wealthability.com/CPAprofit. Get this new resource so that you can double your profitability in the next 90 days. So I think it's great to have John Julius on our show because John is truly an expert in customer service. He's built one of the greatest salons, spas in the country, in the world. And John, it's just an absolute pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you, Tom. I'm really excited to be part of it.
So John, if you would, just give us a sketch of, you know, where you've come from and why you're spending so much time, because this is your, like what you do full time now, as I understand it, is customer service. So why, where'd this all come from?
Well, 27 years ago, me and my wife opened a small salon and four chairs, 900 square feet. And we had the three no's, no money, no customers, no employees. And so the only thing, and there was a salon and spa within, you know, a stone's throw away in every direction on the street we were on and the neighborhood we were in. And so we couldn't compete with building a nicer facility, advertising more. But, you know, what we could compete with was giving an experience that not only was you wouldn't find in the salon and spa industry, but we wanted it that something that if you left, your wife left our salon, she wasn't going to find it anywhere else she went that day. You know, whether it be meet a girlfriend for lunch, you know, go to the doctor's office or go shopping. And so that fanatical obsession really catapulted us, you know, in the 90s. And we just started growing, opening up multiple locations. People started asking, you know, me to speak locally in Cleveland, Ohio. And, you know, I was flattered and it wasn't anything I set out to do. And then every time I spoke, 2 to 3 more leads came in asking if you could do this for corporations, associations. And then I wrote my first book, Secret Service. All 5 of my books are on customer service. That came out in 2002. And that pretty much took me out of the salon and spa industry overnight. And I became a customer service speaker and consultant and started working with, you know, the real legends like, you know, the Ritz-Carltons and Starbucks and Chick-fil-A and Price Waterhouse and, you know, just, you know, all these great companies. And then I still own the salons and spas. I don't have anything to do with them day to day. We have a customer service consulting firm that, you know, that's all I do. And we focus on is creating, as you said, a brand clients can't live without. And we focus on helping make price irrelevant.
So let's start. I like the idea of making price irrelevant. We'll get to that point. And we certainly want to do that. Let's start though with really, really basic. I want to ask you a really basic question because I think we all think we know what customer service is. I'm not sure that we do. So how do you define, when you talk about customer service, how are you defining that?
Well, you know, especially going into the industry you're talking in, and you opened with it, you know, the sweeping changes of the technological shift is the commoditization of professional knowledge, right? For decades, professionals were able to charge a premium fee for their expertise, which was considered rare and valuable. But as a result of living in the world, access to, you know, internet and the value of expertise in many professions is dramatically reduced. Much of what, you know, customers would have called an expert for, you know, we can find, you know, a few minutes online. So how do professionals differentiate themselves? And so, and that's what we're going to discuss, you know, on this. But, you know, one of the things is stop calling it service, especially in the professional service arena, because you have so many, you sell actual services, right? You have accounting, right? Financial services. I was at a big, you know, accounting firm, and I saw that they had this customer service room. And I said, oh God, let me see that. And when I went, all it was envelopes. And, you know, I mean, it was like, you know, so the term has just gotten so watered down.
Right.
You know, so let's name it something else. Let's name it hospitality, or let's name it experience, where it doesn't get, you know, diluted with the services you're actually selling, but it's how we make a person feel. And, you know, listen, you better be smart. But I have found that in any time I've worked in the industries that have anything to do with technology, financial, medical, they have the professionals, you know, doctors, lawyers, accountants, they have the lowest service aptitude. It's like, well, why is that? Well, you know, they have the most schooling. Right. To get into their industry was, you know, brutal. And then once they become a professional, lawyer, accountant, medical, it's not like their education's done. Right. They have to continue constantly. And there wasn't a lot of room left for the soft skill, you know, and building relationships and all those things. So that's one, you know, valuable crutch. But the other is that there is an ego. There is an ego that, you know, I am very, very smart. And, you know, there is that, you know, that traditional stereotype that, you know, these types of professionals say, you know, you should be lucky that you have me. And listen, I always say this, my accountant that saved me $35,000 last year on a tax loophole, while I'm glad he did, I'm pretty sure any accounting firm I would choose would know that same tax loophole. So, you know, financial brilliance by itself is a commodity. There's a lot of smart people out there.
And what's going to happen, John, is that with AI technology, I mean, our company is building this right now. With AI technology, as I understand AI, it really starts at a master level. So if a master is 60,000 hours of experience and expertise, that's where AI begins. And then it goes up from there. And so all that expertise is not going to mean so much anymore. And so I don't think it's going to be enough to just be smart and to know what you're doing. It's going to take more. And this whole idea of customer service, I mean, here's the other side of it. The most important customer is the customer we have. It's not the customer we're going to get, it's the customer we have. And we spend so much effort trying to get new clients. And we seem to spend, in my experience, a lot of CPAs seem to spend very little time actually building relationships. And so, you know, I think about when I go into a spa, all spas are not created equal by any means. I mean, my wife pretty much likes any spa. I don't, because some spas I walk out and I don't feel good. And other spas I walk out and I feel great. And so to me, you know, part of it is, you know, how are you treating me that's different from how you're treating everybody else? Does that fall into what you're talking about when you talk about really the real customer experience?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely does. The challenge, and to be honest, I probably would have never mentioned on this interview about the salon and spa. And I know that's silly, but my biggest frustration is when I deal with, you know, people and industries, is as soon as they're always looking for a reason
right.
to discount.
Exactly.
And so, you know, so you got, you know, accountants on this listening to you, to us right now say, well, you know, a salon and spa is not a grudge buy, you know, dealing with your accountant sometimes it is. And that's no disrespect, but I mean, you know, people want to go to the salon. People want to go get a massage. People, you know, want to get their hair done. Not a lot of people, you know, want to, you know, spend the time and money, you know, on an accountant. And you know,
which
that's,
makes the
you
experience know, that much more important, doesn't it?
Exactly. The bar is set so low. But becoming, you know, I'll give you one great example. I have a client in Columbus that said to me about another vendor partner. Oh, I wanted to finish the thought here. So, you know, I'm a customer service consultant. We have, you know, several customer service consultants, and we have the exact same business model as an accounting firm.
Right.
You know, we're B2B, but, you know, just like, you know, your industry, you know, there's a lot of stuff that people can get, you know, offline now. So we have to make sure we're providing so much value. And so one example I'll give is there's a client of mine who said to me one time, he hopes he dies before his banker. And I was like, what? Like, well, what do you mean? Because I'm like, you know, I don't even think I would go to my banker's funeral. You know, what do you mean you hope you die before your banker dies? And this is how he responded. He goes, I can't live without him. He goes, to the point that he goes, I don't make a decision without calling him first. And he says, if I was thinking about painting the walls at my corporate office a different color, I would call my banker first. And he goes, I'm pretty sure my banker doesn't know jack about interior design and what colors best on a, you know, walls, but I know he knows someone that does. And when he said that to me, I was like, wow, like that's how I want to be considered as, you know, to my CEO, you know, clients, as a partner you can't live without. And so there's another example in my book that says, are you in your CEO's foxhole or bomb shelter? And what that means is, CEOs of our clients, we have this metaphoric bomb shelter that if we were going to be under attack tonight, we have two, right? We have a personal one that we take our spouse and on most days, all of our kids, right? And then we have a professional one. Now, the professional bomb shelter only fits three of our vendors. That's all it has room for. Everyone listening, we needed to, you know, would we have a seat in our client's professional bomb shelter? Because they can't fathom living life without. versus they say, oh, I can get that cheaper somewhere else tomorrow. I don't care if they get blown up, but I can't live, you know, I can't fathom life without them.
You know, your example of the banker, I think is a really interesting example. I had an experience a few years ago where, because as CPAs, we do know a lot of people. And I actually had somebody hire me, and I'm not cheap. And they hired me specifically for an introduction to one person that I knew, because they could not get an introduction anywhere else. I mean, they got a lot of other value too. I mean, they call me all the time now, but that was a big deal to them. So I think sometimes we discount as CPAs, not just what we know, because I think we discount that all the time, but we also discount who we know and the importance of who we know, and actually being a center focus of, okay, if you need somebody in some area, I'm the guy, we're the people to call. And then you do become indispensable because they're always calling you about those things. And now you have a relationship.
Exactly. I mean, so I have, kind of a example of, how you become a partner your clients can't live without. So I'll rattle some off here. But first one is love what you do and make it obvious. Like, do your clients feel your enthusiasm? Like, I love customer experience, and people can usually tell, in my voice, that's the type of people we want to be around.
It's the way I love taxes. I have a good friend and client, and I can say their name because they're public about it. Kim and Robert Kiyosaki. Robert wrote Rich.
Right?
So Kim laughs because she'll be talking. The minute she says tax, my ears pop out. I'm going, did you talk about taxes? Are we talking about taxes now? And she cracks up. And she goes, Tom, anytime, there's tax, anything, and everything's about taxes. And I get that excited about taxes and tax law. And I do think that when we're around people that are excited about their business, it means that it's really not their job. It's not their business. It's their calling. And we want to be around people like that because that Absolutely. Energy is infectious to us. Just the same as if we have bad energy and, we pick up the phone. It's like yesterday, I pick up the phone and I call one of my vendors. And the response was, oh, hi. And immediately I'm thinking, what did I do wrong? And it was very much that way to the point where I immediately called this person's boss to find out, is there an issue here? Because I want to be the best customer in the world, right? So are they having an issue with us in some way? As a customer, am I creating an issue because of the response I got from that energy? So I think whatever energy we give out is absolutely going to be reciprocated.
No, exactly. And I have a whole section on energy givers and energy suckers and the difference. But no, your clients should never meet anyone smarter than you at what you do. Some other tips to be in the part you they can't live without is go ugly early, right? So if it's not good news, sure. go ugly early. Right. Be a resource broker. And that goes back to the example of, if you need your walls painted orange, well, that John doesn't know John knows someone that does. We need to know our clients' top three goals for next year. And that, listen, they may have nothing to do with, the financial thing, but we need to know those so we can help them and make those introductions, be as committed to the success of the customer as they are. Educate versus sell. I love this. The best companies, I've ever done business with, educate versus sell. It's not just about selling them. It's about educating, where sometimes that means you lose the sale because it wasn't the right time, And so knowing them so well.
Here's an issue that I run into all the time with CPAs is that sometimes, and whether CPAs, lawyers, doctors, et cetera, and doctors less so, but CPAs and lawyers for sure, is that we get into this idea that, well, I've spent all these years learning this stuff, and if I educate you, you won't need me anymore. Where my philosophy is, actually, if I educate you, you're going to be more successful. And if you're more successful, you're going to need more of me, not less of me. And so yeah. I think this is, I actually call it the black box way of looking at professional services, is that we keep it all in a black box instead of giving it out there. It's like when I wrote my book, Tax-Free Wealth, I put all my tax strategies in there. I didn't leave anything out. It's like you say, every smart CPA knows these things, right? This is not like a secret. And yet it appears to be a secret because we have thousands and thousands of people who read the book and call us and say, my accountant never told me that. And I'm going, it's not because they don't know it. It's because they don't say it. And they haven't taken the time to educate you. So let's transition a little bit if we can, John, because I want to make sure we get to this point of making pricing irrelevant. Because these are all important points on customer service. Because I think that the biggest loss we have in our business, the number one biggest loss is when we lose a good client. Because yeah, we may lose a client because, you know, they were bought out or something like that. That's great. Hooray. You know, we're happy for them. But if we lose a client because of poor customer service or because of technology, that's on us. And that's, you know, and we have to take ownership of that and not think that, make excuses. Well, you know, they had a problem or it was really their fault or whatever. It's, you lost the,
if you,
you
if
lost
you
the customer.
Client, if you lose a client based on price, that's on you too. And
I agree.
So many people out there are shaking their head. No.
I totally agree.
And one of my favorite quotes is, discounting is the tax you pay for being average. You know, anytime we've ever lost or, you know, had a price complaint in any of my businesses, it's not because the client wasn't what was cheap or wasn't willing to pay it. It's because the experience didn't warrant it. I just fired my accounting firm because they were way too expensive. And so
they were way too expensive for what they did.
For what they did. Now, I never took care, but they just weren't doing anything outside of, you know, you know, the staple stuff. And you better be the best or the cheapest.
I agree. You've got to be so good that they don't even care what they pay. And that's what we want to do. So how do you do that?
So here, making price irrelevant doesn't mean that you can double your prices tomorrow or even raise them 25% and not lose existing or potential customers. What making price irrelevant does mean is, based on the experience, you, your brand, anyone I come in contact with, consistently delivers. I have no idea what your competition charges, right? And we're all price sensitive, and I've been the idiot that's driven 3 extra miles to save 50 cents on something, not realizing I just lost in that exchange. But we also all have, personally and professionally, people we do business with, only a few, but people that we are so loyal to that I recommend, you know, Tom, you got to use. But sometimes if you ask, well, how much does he charge? I don't know. I can go find out. I get my assistant pull out his last invoice, but I don't care. Like, I'm not out price shopping him because I know, you know, the cheaper I go, the more it could cost me, and I'm not ever risking that. So, you know, it's building that rapport. It's making sure that everyone on your team knows how to operate in the relationship economy, and it's not common sense anymore. The lack of social skills our society has today is the problem for business leaders to solve. So they got to make sure that they are training, you know, themselves and their existing and future generation employees of how the art of relationship building. And that's a Greek world at no fault of their own to a lot of younger generations.
So how do you actually make your company customer centric? Because that's what I keep hearing from you is that, look, the customer, it's all about the customer. You know, we've got to have a relationship with the customer. How do you actually do that?
Well, it starts at the top. I get two types of questions, you know, after I speak. And the first one is, can we really get 50, 500, 5,000 employees to do that? That's the easy part. I mean, it's not easy, but that's the easier part. Follow the methodology. The second question is the one that is really tough for me to answer. It's when someone comes up and says, hey, how do I get my CEO, my VP, my boss to buy into this? And I usually answer, well, get her the book, have them come to the next presentation. What I'm really thinking in my head is, you're screwed, right? I mean, service aptitude starts at the top.
No question.
If we think about any company that we all would agree, you know, Disney, Zappos, Amazon, Starbucks, Virgin Airlines, American Express, any company, we'd all agree, yep, those are in a class by itself. Apple. You could see why, right? You could see why, because the person that started it, was running it, Walt Disney, Richard Branson, Howard Schultz, Tony Hsieh, Jeff Bezos, are obsessed about the customer experience. And if it's not at the top, if it's not a core value of the parent, it'll never be a core value of the children. And so it starts there. And then training, you know, another question I love to ask people is, you know, if you're going to take a new employee, whether it's to answer your phones or, you know, be your newest CPA, how much training do you give them before they can start, you know, working with your clients? And, you know, the first answer is not the one I'm looking for. But some people say 2 days, some people say 2 weeks, some people say 2 months. Great. That's not what I'm looking for. Now, what I want to know is, of the 48 hours, 400 hours, or 4,000 hours of training you're going to give them, how much of it is technical, right, and operational and process, and how much is soft skill, showing compassion and empathy, building rapport, you know, making a brilliant comeback when you drop the ball. And in most, it's 98% operational. And the soft skill is, hey, Tom, see that sign in the back room? It says we're customer centric. Go do that. And, you know, if I tell 100 people to go above and beyond, or I tell 100 people to be customer centric, that's processed 100 different ways. The best companies remove the variation and teach what that actually looks like, black and white.
Well, and here's, let's finish up with this, because I think this is a really important point. What I see is you have to live it, and you have to put your money where your mouth is. So one of the things I heard a story once, and you've worked with Ritz-Carlton, and I've heard a story mm-hmm. once that they give everybody the authority, everybody down to the housekeeping authority, to spend a certain amount of money on any one customer
yep.
during the day to make sure that customer's experience is happy and something that they really want to walk away with. So the challenge, I think, CPAs, you know, we say that CPA stands for cheapest people in America, right? So the challenge we have is that we have to put our money where our mouth is, which means we actually have to spend the time and the money. And this doesn't mean sending, you know, holiday gifts to our clients, although I think that helps, as long as it's a good gift, not a logo driven gift. But I think that that means we actually have to spend the time. I mean, when we're selling our time, right? I mean, we basically sell time. And so if we're selling our time and we're taking time for doing this, then that means we're putting our money where our mouth is. So I totally agree that it's not just teaching it. It's actually taking the time out to do it and to set that example, because nobody else in the organization is going to do something that the boss isn't willing to do.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's experience on the inside has to be experience, will be experience on the outside.
John, if you can, if you had one thing to say, one thing that CPAs could do to make the relationship with their client better, what would that one thing be?
Collect Ford, FORD. All right. I love to ask people, you know, hey, who's good here at building an instant rapport with others? And everyone raises their hand, and I call BS. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you spoke to someone this morning, you stopped in your local Starbucks, or you went to a networking event, or whatever the social was, and you could have spoke to someone for 15 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes, that doesn't mean you built a rapport. You could have been speaking about yourself for, you know, that hour and 15 minutes. And we are all preoccupied, genetically coded to be preoccupied. It's my flight that's delayed. It's my client that's upset with us. It's my son that got in trouble. So the best way to battle that urge to talk about ourselves is to focus on other people's Ford. And if you know two or more things of the other person's Ford, and I'll explain what Ford is, you not only built a relationship, you own the relationship. Because to each and every human being walking the world, their own Ford is the most, their hot buttons. Family. Are they married? Do they have kids? How old are their kids? Oh, occupation, right? What do they do? Who do they do it for? What's their title? How long they've been doing it? R is a big one, recreation, right? What do they do with their free time? Is he a runner? Does she do hot yoga? Does he coach Little League? And then D, dreams. Dream. What's on their bucket list? What's their dream vacation? What's their encore, career? And you could do this in a very casual setting in a 2-3 minute conversation. Not all of them, but you just collect it. And now I know, and now I circle back with you in 2 weeks, congratulating you on your first 5K to, you know, getting your son or daughter into Duke to all those things.
Oh, thank you for that. So remember, we got another Ford, and want to thank John DeJulius. John, how do we find out more about you? Where do we go?
The DeJuliusGroup.com, the DeJulius Group, DIJULIUS, the DeJuliusGroup.com, and or email me, John, at the DeJuliusGroup.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And just remember, everyone, that when we're building these client relationships and we take the time and we actually make the personal effort, because this all absolutely, as John says, has to come from the top. Okay, we spend a little time to find out their Ford and actually pay attention to it and actually care about it and literally care about it, then what's always going to happen is we're always going to end up with better clients, which creates a better practice. And for us, it's a better life. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Wealthability for CPA show. Better clients, better practice, better life. To learn more, go to wealthability.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.